Morning to everyone. This is your prayer this morning. Appreciate each one that is here. Like I said, this is the first church service I've been in all month. That ain't nothing new with me about the last year and a half. I get to church when I can go. So I'm thankful to be here. I thought we had a wonderful meeting at Guthrie. If you was there, and trust you enjoyed it. Pacoima was a good meeting also, what I understand. I was planning to go there, and as I was looking at plane tickets, the Lord spoke to me several times, and he said, I don't want you to go. I got sick right at the end of Guthrie, and I wouldn't have been able to go. So the Lord was good one more time and gracious and guiding and leading, and I appreciate that. I've got something on my heart I've had for several days now. It's a very serious subject. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the most serious subjects in a way you can preach out of the Bible. I want to start with asking some questions. Now, first, you're gonna wonder what I'm getting at, but I want to leave you in a little bit of a whatever to get your attention. How do we get saved? How do we keep saved? How do we learn about God and His Word? How do we see answers to prayer? How do we keep a close relationship with the Lord? How do we get victory when we make mistakes or get overhurt? What happens when a couple quits communicating? What happens when a person quits praying? Ministers tell people to pray. I'm talking about at the Bible. I'm talking about the altar. Dealt with people down through the years. And one of the things I always like to, and I'm sure others do too, let them know that you need to read your Bible. You need to pray, read your Bible, and go to church. That's something that's an absolute. Now, my subject this morning is prayer. When you got saved, what did you do to start with? You prayed. Some prayed longer than others. Brother Leslie told me that years ago that he said, you see people go to the altar and sit there down there a long time. And he said, you know what the problem is? He said, Brother Carl said, they can't grasp the fact that God would forgive them. In other words, if they've lived saved and backslid or whatever, they can't quite get a hold that the Lord would forgive them again. I didn't deal with it, but I was there when it happened. And, this is in 1977 in February. Never met this man in my life. He went to the altar. We become friends after that, and we're still friends. And he stayed down there quite a while. And I guess I went down with the ministers after a point. I didn't go at first. But anyway, he couldn't believe the Lord would save him again. He just couldn't get the faith. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He just couldn't get it. And finally, one minister told him, said, you've done everything you know to do. Take it by faith. Well, that was hard for him to do that too. But the bottom line is, for you and I to get saved, for you and I to have a relationship, for you and I to keep saved, learn about God and His Word, we got to do some praying. It's not something that's a might be. It's an absolute. Prayer is an absolute thing that you and I, you can't have a relationship with a companion to get a companion without talking to him. You know, you get acquainted by visiting and discussing things and so forth, and you come to a point, well, do I want this person or do I not? So communication, to me, in marriage is one of the top things. You've got to be able to talk. And to talk with God and to have a close relationship with the Lord and to get victory over and over, we've got to be able to pray. And pray through and get what the Lord would have us to have. Let's start in 1 Peter 3:12, please. 1 Peter 3:12. Now I got quite a few scriptures down, and I'm jumping all the way from the old to the new. So get your fingers limbered up and go with me here and follow me. 1 Peter 3:12 said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I'm thankful this morning he sees us constantly, 24 hours a day. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. He knows how we're doing. And so consequently, and then his ears, his eyes are watching and his ears are open unto their prayers. The Lord is encouraging us, wants us to pray. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to know him better and better. He wants us to be able to learn how to pray and pray and be in prayer. Thanks the Lord is against them that do evil. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. My text is down in my notes a little bit here. It's over in Thessalonians. Matthew 6 and 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they'll have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in heaven. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now then, he says here in the 6th verse, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. How many of you has ever tried to pray and couldn't pray? You just could not. What this is referring to is not a literal closet. It's this closet right here and here. Shutting our minds into one thing, zeroing in on the Word, zeroing in on God, zeroing in on our needs, whatever it might be. That's what he wants us to do. And if we can learn to do that, we will do much better. And just get in there and just get all into the Lord, all into his Word, praying for people, for situations, and so forth. A lot of my prayers are for the lost. Now, I pray for other things, too. But being an evangelist and a burden for the lost, so to speak, I do a lot of praying for the lost. I start out for me, or about me. I got to get me in order first. One minister said one time, said, I got to go to prayer. Said, I can be a bear if I don't. Now, I don't know what all he meant by that, but that's what he said. Be a bear if I don't. Well, I don't know that I call myself a bear in the morning, Molly Ann, but the bottom line is the Lord wants us to start the day out with prayer. He wants us to get in our closet, shut our minds up to a place where we can open our hearts to God and say, Lord, I need you today. I've got to have you. I can't live without you. Listen, folks, what is between you and death? I could have been killed once. And I nearly killed myself one time by accident. And there is not very much between life and death. Basically, 1 second. If we would have hit that guardrail Molly told me about that I was headed for when I was out in, totally out of it, I don't know what happened to me, and I'm driving the car, and she said, I looked up and said, you was headed right for the end of the guardrail. I was doing 75 miles an hour with cruise on. That was the speed limit. And she said, the car moved to the right. And said, then we were going down Carlin. We head straight at those big pillars that hold the overpass up. And said, again, the car moved to the right. Now, folks, if the car hadn't moved to the right, all three of us would have probably been killed when we hit that guardrail. It would have flipped us over in. It brought us right down on the top, and it would have probably killed all three of us. But the bottom line is, his eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open under the prayer. He knows where we're at, what we're doing, and he knows how to protect us. He knows how to take care of us. And I like to tell the Lord, Lord, I need grace. I need protection every day. I don't have 1 second of the day that I need to be without God. You and I need him constantly, and I let him know that. sometimes more than one time a day, sometimes several times a day. So he said there that just shut up thee, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions that the heathen do. Oh, they think they be heard because of their much speaking. Be not like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Now then, if he's watching us constantly, he knows what we have need of. He knows if we need food. He knows. I know of a situation in California several years ago. This was a gifted couple that was able to take young people and work with them that were rebellious, that weren't doing like, I guess, the Pearl of Grace Ranch does now in a sense of the word. But they could take them and they could work with them. And they could help them to get saved and live with the Lord. And one morning, the wife was in the kitchen and she was cooking. And she discovered she was totally out of food. Said, I prepared that meal and I discovered I didn't have nothing left. So said when they went to pray, the prayer for the meal, they took hands, they clasped hands, and they held hands and they prayed. And she said she seen in a vision an angel up over the table. She said in a little while we got the bus out, the regular big van, I suppose, and they went to town and said when we come back there was sack after sack after sack of groceries sitting on the front porch. I don't know that she said so much about, Lord, we need food, but God knew what she needed, and he provided it. Listen, folks, he can take anybody and do anything if they're willing, so to speak. He can get them to where he needs them to be to help you and I, or to help anybody. So, Lord, help us today that we learn how to pray, how we open our hearts up, how we communicate with him. There's times that I pray, and I may not say words audibly, so to speak, but I'm praying from my heart. One brother told me, he said, prayer is sincere utterance of the heart. There's something to that. And pray in the mind, God, I need you. And reach out, and he knows. He loves us. He died for us. He wants to do everything he can do for us. All right, let's go to Luke 6 and 12. Let's look at the Savior himself and see what it says about him in prayer. It says here, when it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. All right, then I want Mark 1 and 35. Mark 1 and 35. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, this is Christ. You'd say, well, why did Christ need to pray? He was fixing, in the first place I read, he was fixing to choose and have the people that was going to take the word of God to the world. He had to have the exact ones. He wanted him and the Father. They worked hand in hand. He prayed. I figure he prayed every day. Maybe more than one time a day. He opened his heart up and he, Father, what about this? And Father, what about that? Listen, folks, the Father wants you to ask him the same thing. Just talking to a brother. And he told me, well, his wife texted Molly, or Molly texted her and she texted her back. And she said, we need prayer. Well, I called him after that because I wanted to ask him a question. And he told me, she said, we need prayer because we're going to make some very serious decisions. I thought, well, I wonder what they're doing. And I wasn't really being nosy particular, but I just wondered in my mind, I wonder what they're doing, going to do over there. And so come to find out, they're interested in buying some property and getting a place of chapel in Honduras, or the main place where Brother Doug and him used to be, but the other place. And they wanted prayer to be sure that we do the right thing. We need wisdom, we need understanding, and so forth. That we do exactly what the Lord wants us to do by the right place, if they can buy one. And they wanted prayer for that. Listen, folks, Jesus was fixing to take these men. He was fixing to work with them and teach them and help them and bless them and work with them. And then he's going to take them after the day of Pentecost, and he's going to go back to heaven in a short time. And he wants them prepared to take the gospel to the world. He didn't just want anybody. If you've got a business, you don't just hire anybody. You want somebody that will be able to do what you want them to do. And the more experience they got, the better off you are. And here was Christ. And so consequently, he prayed all night before he chose these 12 men that was going to work with him, that was going to be a blessing to the world, that was going to get things going. And then another place, he rose up a good while before morning, so to speak, and he went out and he prayed. And I think later it says there the disciples come and found him, and they went and they preached the gospel. He preached the gospel to the people that had come to hear him. So Christ prayed. He spent time in prayer because he wanted exactly what the Father wanted. He and him had a close relationship, so close that everything that they'd done was right perfectly on key one with another. That's wise for us. I'm here today because I felt like the Lord wanted me to come. Brother Bob goes places. He goes because the Lord sends him. Brother Salmon said one time, probably more than one time, he said, I get up in the morning and I pray, Lord, you know what you want for this day, something like that. And he said, I want you just to guide me and lead me and so forth. That's what every minister wants. We can get phone calls. We can get text messages. I can get things that will totally turn my day totally around. Because it's the Lord. And I've asked him to send me. I've asked him to use me. And that's the way any minister, I'm not just talking about myself here, that's the vision of all ministers. We want to help the people. We want to be a blessing to them. So Christ prayed. All right, let's jump to the Old Testament in Psalms about 55 and 17. 55 and 17 of Psalms. And he says here, he said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And he had delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Evening and morning and noon. Now, this sounds good. How many times a day should you pray, preacher? As many as you need to. Many as you want to. The Lord wants us. Now, he's breaking it down. The old Hebrews, I believe it was, they had a set deal of three times a day. That's the way they done it. And so consequently, that's what he's saying here. I'm doing what I've been taught to do. But evening and morning and noon will I pray. Oh, today, Lord, help us that we have, you know, sometimes people pray, and the best thing in the morning is you're usually your mind is fresh. Your mind is not cluttered with a lot of things that you may run into today that will get your mind all involved. So probably one of the greatest times, I feel like, is start in the morning with prayer. And ask the Lord, I need you, Lord. Ask the Lord, protect me, Lord. And anything that you need, ask him to work with you through that day. And he'll do that. He'll bless and work. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. That's my text. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Talks about rejoice evermore and everything give thanks and quench not the spirit. And if I remember right, now I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm too far off. One time Brother Leslie preached on these scriptures, had a whole message on just from about 14 or 15 on down about pray without ceasing, everything give thanks and so forth. He had a whole message on that. But said, pray without ceasing. In other words, be in a spirit of prayer all the time. Lord, help us to be able to. Prayer is the beseeching. It's coming to God. It's opening up. It's begging. It's pleading. I made a statement in front of a person that wasn't saved, and I said something about begging, and she looked at me and said, you beg God? I said, I sure do. I get down sometimes and I weep and I cry and I beg God. I'm praying. I didn't tell you. She'll hear me praying for souls and needs and so forth. And I'm in tears begging God to do something. I said, Lord, I know you probably get tired of me coming in a sense. And I know you're doing what I'm asking you to do. But my burden is I want you to help those people. I want you to save them. People that I've worked with for 40 years. And they're not saved and they're not living for God. I've pastored and I've worked with them. I've begged them. I've preached to them. I've done everything I know to do. And they're still not saved. And their daddy was a preacher. And a good preacher. He was an excellent... When I lived there, the years I lived, I never heard but one negative thing about that man. One time. They all said good things about him. And they loved him dearly. But here he had a dozen children, and only one of them right now that I know of is saved. And those kind of things break my heart. They hurt me. I don't want to see people to go to hell. I don't want to see them burn in a devil's hell over and over, day and day and night and night. I don't want to see that. So I'm begging the Lord, Lord, have mercy on them and deal with them. I said, Lord, you... And I don't really think he gets tired of it, but the bottom line is, oh Lord, help us to pray, to have a heart of prayer, to have a desire of prayer, and to reach out and say, Lord, I need you. And I want you to help these people. I want you to save these people. They need your help, Lord. James 5, 13 and 16. James 5, 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Psalms. And then in 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now one preacher several years ago was preaching. And there was a problem. His daddy was pastor and there was a problem in the congregation. I don't know what it was. But he said, I went to Dad and I told him, I said, Dad, we need to deal with this problem. And said, Dad looked at him and said, we need to pray. Dad, we need to deal with the problem. Dad said, we need to pray. He said, no, Dad, we need to deal with the problem. No, we need to pray. Now, I learned several years ago, matter of fact, at Guthrie, where it started, I learned that when people brought problems to me and said, you know, we need to whatever... And I'd tell him, I said, let's pray first. Let's take a little time to pray. Either right then or maybe for a week or two. And I found out over and over and over that most of the time the Lord worked it out and I never had to do anything. It's easier that way for a pastor. Because you don't want to have to do certain things that you might have to do in dealing with problems. So he'd tell him that. He said, we need to do something. He said, we need to pray. He said, I learned, people, that we needed to pray. And you need to pray. We need to deal with problems with the Lord. Let Him work with them. He's got more wisdom, more intelligence, and more everything than we do. And consequently, He knows how to take care of the problem. But it said, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Do you pray when you get sick? You get in a lot of pain, you pray? I may be wrong, but I'd say everybody in here does. You start needing help, you start praying, you start begging. Said, any afflicted among you, let him pray. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. And then said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is a lot of things that the Lord works with God's people, no matter where they're at and who they are. They're pouring out their hearts to God and God works. There was a situation back in the East that somebody called me for prayer. This person was sitting in the parking lot of a police station. Their husband had gone into the police station and he hadn't come out. And they didn't know where she didn't know where he was at. So she called me and said, Brother Carl, can you pray with me? Said, her husband had gone, I'm not going to name his name, you wouldn't know him anyway, had gone into the police station. She said, been in there a while, he showed back up. So we started praying, the two of us. And in just a little bit, he showed up. He came out of the building running to the car. Now that is what you call a quick answer to prayer. But we had our hearts in desire. Lord, help so-and-so to come back to his wife. He wasn't leaving her. I don't remember the situation right now. It's been quite a while back. But the bottom line is, you and I can team up together. Let's see, 50 and 15 of Psalms. It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Call upon me. I want you to call upon me. We need to call upon him in good times, medium times, so to speak, and bad times. Times of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Listen, I don't tell the story of the wreck just to be telling it. I do it because it is honoring God. It's letting people know that there was somebody that controlled that car beside me. And Molly wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it. The Lord done it. One minister, he looked at me and said, Brother Carl, the bottom of the line is there was an angel in there guiding that car. There was. And it's not that I'm anything. The bottom line is I want people to know there is a God and there's angels and that he works with people. He takes care of people. He has protected people all down through the years and done things for them in mighty ways that they couldn't have done themselves. Miracle after miracle. Different things that he's done. 12 and 12 of Romans says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. In other words, a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Pour ourselves out. Pray without ceasing. Lord, help us in 20 and 25, help us to make this a year of prayer. A year that we're reaching out more, praying more, beseeching God. He has done a lot of things for us, but could he do more? Yes. Are we asking for more? Well, I don't want to bother the Lord. That's not the point. The Bible said pray. Pray without ceasing. He wants us to come to him and beseech him for the things that we need. There have been times that storms have come. I've read about tornadoes. Saints praying over tornadoes, about tornadoes. They could see them and the tornado would lift and go over certain houses and be gone. The fires in California. There was one man and he was given honor to God. He said, houses all around my house burned to the ground. He said, mine's still standing. He said, it was God. He was praying. I don't know what kind of man he is, but I heard him tell it. I was praying. I was looking to God, and God spared my house. Listen, I don't know how many pictures you've seen, but most of them houses, there's nothing left but ashes. I'm talking about structures that several million-dollar homes, and there's nothing left but ashes. I believe, and I don't want to get in trouble saying this, but I believe it's a judgment of God on some of that. But then also, God can go right in the midst of something like that, and he can spare one, two, or three houses. He can spare people on tornadoes. There's earthquakes that happen that their houses were still standing and others were damaged severely. There's all kind of storms that's happened through the year, and people were praying, they were begging God, Lord, have mercy, and he did. But we don't want to just pray because of storms. We want to pray for ourselves. We want to pray for our families. We want to pray for souls that are in trouble. We want to pray for people that are sick. Oh, there's so much to pray for. How much are we praying? How much do we give God every day in prayer? All right, let's go to Matthew 18 and 19. So again, I say unto you that two of you shall agree on earth of touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. Now let's go to Mark 9 and 29 to connect to that. Mark 9 and 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So he said in one place here, He said, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Then it goes on, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. Now then, unity in prayer. How many of you have ever said two or three or four or five or six, whatever, gathered around somebody's bed and prayed for them that was sick? Or maybe just two or three, maybe the pastor and the parents over a child or something, and prayed and asked. There is great results in unity of prayer. Pouring our hearts out as a unified body. The Lord loves that. Two or three. He said that if two of you shall agree, now it's not very many on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father, which is heaven. Then he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Oh, today, we need to pray as a body. We need to pray. Remember Karen, Celine? Remember what happened to her? Remember she was in Africa with her father and she got, wasn't it, malaria? Very, very sick. What did they do at Monarch? Did they just say, well, pray for Karen. Pray for Karen. No. The young people themselves, if I remember right, they got together as a body. And if I'm not mistaken, they were praying 24 hours a day for her. All right, she improved. Brother Bob, well, Sister Armigail, I believe, went over there and helped. And they got her back home. She was still not well. She went all the way down to the point of death. Somebody that's there, the minister told me this personally, said Brother Carl, said she quit breathing. And then all of a sudden she started back up. Said the Lord touched her right at that moment and started raising her right out of that. Instantly. And where is she at today? She's a married woman, got children. And been a blessing. That is God. That is us as a body pouring forth our hearts to God. Lord, have mercy on so and so, or have mercy on this situation. Have mercy on this service. I know of a situation where a sister in a certain congregation where I pastored, and I don't know why she... I was stunned she said such a thing. But she said, she come across the yard there as we were coming into church, and she walked up beside Rebecca and she said, you know, I was listening to a radio church program this morning, and they said, you ought to pray for the service. You ought to pray for your pastor before you get there. And she goes, I never thought about that. Listen, folks, a preacher needs your prayers. We need it right now. While I'm in the pulpit, before I get in the pulpit, we need you, because the devil don't like anything we say in this pulpit. He does not want a preacher to preach, especially the truth. He don't want anything being said about salvation or sanctification, divine healing, unity. He don't want any of that. He's against that. And he's going to do everything he can to stop us. And you're our key. You're the key. I remember one time, Brother Leslie, oh, I was quite young at that time, didn't know a whole lot yet. And he got in the pulpit and he was having trouble preaching. He just could not seem like it started. And I didn't know much, but I started praying. And said, Lord, have mercy on us. And help us. Help Brother Leslie. To myself, quietly. And all of a sudden he took off. I've seen it happen more than once. Back in the old time, back in the 1880s, early 1900s, their ministers got in, I've read about, and they couldn't preach. And somebody over the side, like Brother D.S. Warner or Brother Warner or whatever, they'd go, Lord bless Brother so-and-so. And bam, they'd take off of preaching. Reaching out to God. We need God to help us as a body. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for you. But the bottom line is, we need God to help us to be able to do what He wants us to do. He gives us these burdens. He gives us these scriptures. He helps us to line it out the way that we feel He wants us to preach. But then we need you praying. When you get up Sunday morning and you start praying, you need to start praying for the service. Lord, bless the pastor. Or like this, Lord, bless any minister that come. Bless them, Lord, good. We need you to feed us, Lord. Listen, we want to be fed. Molly, fix meals for me. Now from the 26th of December till when I got back down there on the 16th, which about three weeks later, I was taking care of myself. This is like old time when I didn't have a wife. And I got news for you. I didn't get the food that she fixes. I didn't get good fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and rice, and beans, and so on. I wasn't getting any of that, but I was alive. But listen, folks, we need the Lord to bless and give us some meat once in a while. We need to give Him the potatoes, maters, and beans. We need Him to do it. And to get that, we need to say, Lord, bless the service this morning. Bless the camp meeting. When we're fixed to go into a camp meeting, the evangelists and the preachers that are there, we need your prayers. We need your backing. We need you to open up to God and say, Lord, we need you praying during the day, during the service. We need to pour your hearts out to God. Because you, in unity, is getting the power and the results. One time at Guthrie, well, this has happened more than one time, but there was a message preached one night. This had been several years ago, and I don't remember much about that particular service, but it was the next night that a minister got to exhorting in on what the preacher had preached the night before, and the power of God come down. And the presence of God was so rich and real that the people just started testifying all over the congregation. The children were almost perfectly quiet. There wasn't nobody going out of the sanctuary. Even the children wasn't going out of the sanctuary. Everybody was just, God's here. God is here. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but I like God to be there. I like Him to work. I like to feel Him in the presence and the workings. Now, Brother Philip told this several times, so you've heard it told. But when one of the children, and I don't remember which one it was very, very sick. And I was pastor there then, and they called us over to pray, and we went over and we visited and talked about the situation and so forth. And we all four, we put the baby on the floor. And we got on our knees on the floor around this child, and when we did, the presence of God came in that room. I mean, you could feel it. He knew it. I knew it. The ladies knew it. And when we got through praying, the child was healed instantly. We just got up and walked out. I don't even know if we told him bye. It was God. His presence was so rich that healing was instant. Listen, folks, we need that. We need that. And we get that a lot of time by the very unity of the Spirit. If there's any problems between anybody, we need to get that resolved so there can be real unity, heartfelt unity. All right, let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. Yeah, Acts 12 and 1. Now this is just backing up what I've been preaching. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he just proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison, delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That sounds like the deal with Sister Karen. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, look at and think. Now the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raising him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. Now Peter, in a sense, was kind of, what's going on? And he said he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, They came unto an iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through the street. Forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go shew these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now then, it says over here that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Just like it was for Sister Karen. Remember the deal with wasn't it Paul and Silas? That they put them in prison? What happened? Lord sent an earthquake, wasn't it? Opened the deals up. They got out and they went their way. Listen, the Lord can do anything at any time in answer to prayer. There's all power. Brother Michael preached on power at the meeting. I love that message. Preach it myself. And the bottom line is, it said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All. Capital A-L-L. Not some or part of. Not just a little bit or a whole lot. It's everything. It's total. It's complete. It's absolute. He has got all power. There's not anything he can't do for you. And so consequently, they were praying. They had faith that God could do what needed to do. Their brother was in trouble. And the Lord got him out of the prison and sent him on his way. He had a work for Peter to do. He had a work for Paul to do, a work for Silas to do. Listen, folks, you can't lock up God's people without God getting them out. You can't kill them without him protecting them. What was it, brother? In you? I believe Titus in you from Africa. They said that they were going to kill him with a firing squad. And they put him out there and they covered up his eyes and put him against the wall. And he stood there and he waited and nothing happened. And so finally he said, Well, if you got to do it, do it. They said, We can't. We can't do it. Listen, folks, God can stop all bullets. He can stop all rifles, all cannons, all guns. There's not anything he can do because all power. I have been more impressed, I believe, of late, of the last few months of the bottom line. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got all power. Now, when you got all power, how much do you have? That's complete, total, and everything that he can take and work with for your good and mine. He can heal anything in the body. He got cancer. Cancer ain't nothing to God. He's got a heart attack. Ain't nothing. Brother Willie's in serious condition, but God can deliver him from it. He can heal anything. He can do anything. But we got to pray. We need to ask the Lord for his mercy. Oh, much prayer was going forth by the saints for Peter, and God sent him out. All right, let's go to Matthew 9:38. Matthew 9:38 said, Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then Ephesians 6:18-20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Now this is exactly what I preached about, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. For that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Now he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest they send forth laborers into his harvest. Now we need that. I'm not an old man, but I ain't a young man anymore. And the bottom line is, some of us are getting old enough that things are going to begin to change, and we need young ministers to carry forth. And we've got some that's starting, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that the Lord is calling and beginning to use mightily those young men and young sisters, letting them know that I want you to preach my gospel. Now then, are we praying the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers? Are we doing that? And then I said, I've done already preached this, but didn't even think about it at the time. But the bottom line is, he said, pray for me. I want to declare the word. I need you to help me to declare the word. So Lord, help us to pray the Lord to send forth. We're in the end time. I don't think time's going to go a whole lot longer. But if somebody I've heard say many times said, I've heard it preached, I believe they said all of their life, that there's going to be a judgment, but said it's never happened. I thought, yeah, but that don't mean it ain't going to happen, because there's going to be a judgment one of these days. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 2:1. And this is something, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now he said here, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men. Everyone. Our world is in a mess. And I'm not talking about a little mess. I'm talking about things that are happening today that I've never seen in my lifetime, and you hadn't either. We have gotten so far because, number one, they decided to take prayer and Bible reading out of the schools years and years ago. And I'm not saying a woman can't work if needs be. But a lot of times, the husband and the wife both work, and the children are not getting the home bringing that they need. And then, what do we got now? It's under 50%, I believe it is, of the population's going to church anymore. People just not, even in Babylon, they're not going very much. And I think probably we're way ahead of that number. But the bottom line is, this has affected the children. It's affected them raising or growing up. It's affected them as teenagers. How many of you 20 years ago heard that, say, 500 went in and destroyed a 7-Eleven store? Or they went into one of these other stores and just tore it up, robbed it? There's gangs, groups of people, and this is probably not teenagers here, but they're going in and they're busting into stores at night, jewelry stores and different things, and just grabbing everything they can grab and running off. One thing, our laws has gotten too lax. But the bottom line is said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, and intercession be made of thanks, a giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings, for leaders, for higher ups, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. I've been to every state in this country. I guess I've been to every major city in the United States. And right now, I would like to take her to some places, but I almost cringe to think about it because of the danger. They're robbing people right out in broad open daylight. When I say robbing, they're stealing from cars and stuff. In other words, what I'm saying, I don't want to go in New York City, and I've been there more than one time. I don't want to go in L.A., and I was there not too long back. But the bottom line is, it's such a dangerous world. And he says, pray. He says, pray that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life with all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. The Lord wants that. He desires that. He will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How much are we praying? How much are we praying for the things out there? How much are we praying for the leaders, our local leaders, our national leaders? Psalm 66 and 15, and we'll be through here in just a minute. Psalm 66 and 15, I'll offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings. With the increase of rams, I'll offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he had done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Oh, tonight, or this morning, Lord help us. In 2025, to make it a year of prayer. I believe the Lord has been most gracious to us as a people in this last election. But we still need to pray. Like I said, for church services, we need to pray. For the afflicted, we need to pray. I don't know how many of you thought of it. Those that are sick, who are they? Well, they're Church of God. Who are they? Every one of them that I can think of off the top of my mind, they're basically a leader in the church. Brother Willie. Sister Janine has been a Sunday school teacher, a song leader. I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but the others, they're leaders. And I said, Lord, you're allowing our leaders to be attacked, so to speak. They're under siege. But he's got a reason. Now then, according to what Brother Michael wrote, I believe last night, maybe you didn't send that one, Sister Lisa. It went to Brother Gary again. He's indicating that Vanessa is not doing good at all. She needs a lot of prayer. I don't remember very many young people that's been under siege like she has physically for as long as she has. In my time with the saints. Maybe there's some and I can't remember all of them. But I don't remember any. But we need to pray. He said, pray without ceasing. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time, your attention, being here today. Pray for me.